Okay, well, Nisha Jackson has moved over to Malala's Coffee Shop. No, I don't know where she went. Is she listening? And we have Patrick Doyle in the house. Hi, man.
Hey.
Patrick Doyle, local area counselor, here to take your calls and be a part of the conversation. And he is in private practice here in Southern Oregon. The number to his office is 301-5500. Specializes in addictions and, well, actually everything. You do everything, but primarily addiction is your specialty.
It's one of the things I've done a lot of. But the funny thing is about addiction counseling is that I never met an addict that only had an addiction problem.
Oh, okay.
You know, addiction problems are family problems. They're relationship problems. They're, you know, value problems with the individual. Addiction is a symptom to all these other things, and that's kind of the myth about addiction treatment. This is just about getting somebody sober. Well, getting somebody sober is just a first step. That's when the work starts. When they get sober is when we start really doing the work of helping them get their lives back into order. And so it's much broader than just addiction.
All right. A lot going on here. How do you convince Christians that the Christian life is really true?
Well, I can't. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I keep trying, but God keeps saying, dude, that's my job.
Well, we're coming into Easter.
Yes.
And actually, this recognition should be bigger than Christmas, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he's born, but
mm-hmm.
being crucified and raised from the dead, that pretty much separates the Lord from
mm-hmm.
every other idol and God that's out there.
Absolutely.
I was talking to Bob Justin, and I said it in a flippant way, and then all of a sudden I realized how truthful the statement was. I actually stunned myself. I got to take notes on myself now.
I'm ready to write it down.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, I said that in today's culture war, the Big Ten are under attack.
Mm.
Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first one, thou shalt have no other God before me. Well, we have put everything in front of our relationship with the Lord.
Well, there's a lot of idolatry going on, that's for sure. And in many ways, that we don't identify, you know. You can turn your kids into an idol. You can turn your marriage into an idol. You can turn your church into an idol. All good things.
Right.
But they have to come second to him. They can't become number one. And the resurrection is something I wanted to talk about today because I think a lot of times we talk about the resurrection as some spiritual truth that doesn't have any real practical reality.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the scripture talks about the power of the resurrection being present. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells within us as believers. That should bring quite a bit of hope. If spirit has the power to raise Christ from the dead, well, shouldn't he be able to take care of my issues or help me through my depression or help me through my anxiety or
you think so?
Help me with my difficult marriage or help me with my what seems to be insurmountable problem?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to read a scripture that I think sort of drives this home a little bit. It's out of Romans, it's this. This resurrection life you've received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. So check it out. You want to know who you are? You got to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can know Him is through the power of the resurrection. God made it possible for us not to be condemned to eternal hell through Christ, His resurrection, His defeat of death, His overcoming of sin,
mm-hmm.
His triumphant resurrection. So that is our hope. It is not distant. It is not dusty on the shelf from the 1800s. It's very present today. I walk day in and day out with temptations and difficulties and things coming at me. Where's the power come from? It doesn't come from my good moral behavior. My good moral behavior, if it is there, is from the Spirit of God. And so this gets back to that idea. Where am I going to put my trust? Am I going to put my trust in my activities? Am I going to put my trust in what I'm doing for the church? Am I going to put my trust in, you know, all these other things, my work, my money? No. I'm going to put it in the power of the resurrected God, Christ, who said, I will never leave or forsake you. If you are mine, you cannot be taken from me. All the Father gives to me, I will keep. Mm-hmm. It's not negotiable from God's perspective. And I really hope that folks listening who are in the midst of struggle will think about this, will go to God in a sort of a humble, surrendered state and say, God, you know what? I don't have the power. I don't know what to do. I think I do, but ultimately you're the one who sees all things, not me. I'm just the, I always say I'm a blind, deaf, mute retard. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm connected to the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing God. Why would I ask myself for the answer? Why would I not go to him and say, you're the one who resurrected Christ from the dead. I want to know what you think. And so this is a huge transition from the resurrection being something we celebrate on Sunday as la, 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 la. And, you know, we're going to hunt some Easter eggs and, you know, yeah, nah, 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 nah. Instead, it's a deeply, to me, humbling reality that the God of the universe would decide to make me his own child and give me the power to live above the flesh, to live above death. That generates great gratefulness in me. And this is the thing that I hope to encourage folks to do, is live a life that's responsive to his overwhelming goodness. The resurrection is a clear and undeniable reality of his goodness. Mm. It's overwhelming when you begin to really understand what took place in that event. And who was that for? God was doing it on our behalf. We didn't ask for it. We weren't even alive.
How come the resurrection isn't part of our defense of the faith? It seems like we're arguing a lot of peripheral issues out there and what the biblical response would be to those. But clearly, this is the one event that separates Christianity from all other religions. This is the singular event that makes us unique.
Yeah, and it does. And at the same time, it provides us with something that I don't think any other... I know no other religion has. No other religion has a living God. There's only one. There's only one God who has the power to change the heart of a man, to make him go from hard to heart of hardness to a heart of softness. There's only one God who has the ability to take somebody who's strung out on drugs and break their heart and make them bring them into a place of sobriety. There's only one God who has the ability to take a broken marriage and mend it by his power. That means he's alive. The resurrection is the evidence of his aliveness. God, it says here, we should greet God with what's next, Papa? That expectancy of what you're going to do, God, not what I'm going to do. Idolatry is when I get myself in front, not when I get him in front. When he's in front, things are a lot better. Not easy, but better.
You're a counselor, and you have people come in, and they're so weighted down, they're so cluttered with whatever the issues may be, that they don't see him like that. They they see him as, they know they've made a mistake, and they don't see him as the way out. They see him as the
causal factor.
Well, the big police dog. You know, I mean, he's just he's there to get you because
you're off track.
How do you get people around that?
Well, again, I think that's basically a theological problem. It's a misunderstanding of the way that it works with God. If God were... I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and they were saying that they had this situation in their life where things didn't go the way they'd planned. They had this one place, one thing they wanted to have happen, and it totally... The person let them down, and something totally different happened. There's always negative consequences, and the person's saying, I just feel like God's out to get me. Why would he just take, you know, rip that rug out from underneath my feet? And I said, well, don't you think if God was after you, you'd know it? Don't you think if God wanted to get you,
pretty good,
that it wouldn't be just by, you know, not letting you get the place to live that you want to live? I mean, let's look at the Old Testament. I mean, when God was out to get somebody, they weren't any longer here. he took care of them. They were, I mean, there's whole entire people groups that were wiped out by God when he was out to get them. So if God was out to get us, we wouldn't be here. So the truth is, God's not out to get us. You know, he might be out to get, you know, I know that he, and I know that there's some on the earth that are not his, and that he's going to eventually toss them in hell. That's just a foregone conclusion, okay? I mean, so hell's going to be populated with somebody. I don't know who. It's not my job to decide, but somebody. And so, you know, God's going to deal with sin, but the resurrection is the reality that he is not against you. The resurrection is a clear statement by God that says, look, I've made a way. I've taken care of the problem. I've taken all of your guilt and sin and wiped it away. I've paid for all of it. And now you can live free as a result of what I have done. So you're never going to be able to do enough to accomplish that because I've already done it. So get off that treadmill. I'm not the one who's saying, do this and do this and do that and do that so that you can get approval. Look, my approval is in my son. It's already done. Jesus said, it is finished. When God looks at me, he doesn't see my list of to-dos or my wrongs. He sees himself. If he didn't, it would be bad news for me. So God's not after you. If he is, you'll know it. God's Holy Spirit is very clear when he's ready to convict, when he's ready to punish. You know, and I think the punishment's reserved for the end, but for now, he convicts some and brings them into repentance. And this is the thing that makes the resurrection to me so beautiful. Without the resurrection, there's no repentance. The repentance is the alteration of the human being from the flesh guided, the death, you know, living to life abundant, freedom. I mean, I'm a guy sitting here who has lots of freedom as a result of God's conviction. I'm no longer strung out on drugs. I'm no longer living completely for myself. I'm no longer annihilating other people for my own benefit. I used to. The only difference between me then and now is not my great accomplishments, but God's gracious intervention. And this is the result, again, of the resurrection. So this Sunday, when you go to church, and those of you that might be listening that don't go to church very often, and trust me, I know you're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of you Christians who don't go to church, and I know why. But when you, if you go to church on Sunday, this Sunday for resurrection, think about the fact that God has raised Christ from the dead on our behalf so that we might have a life abundant. It's not about so that I can have a new Cadillac. It's not about so that I can have, you know, the perfect life. It's so that I am going to be spared from God's wrath. God is not going to let sin slide. He doesn't. He deals with it. He's absolutely just. And like I've said before, God always does justice, but he only does it in two ways. One is, he pours out all the wrath that was due you on Christ and satisfies his wrath in Christ, or he throws the person in hell forever. But either way, justice will be done. Mm. And, you know, in my case, God has spared me. That causes me to want to respond to him, not be religious. It causes me to want to love him back. When somebody really loves you, do you want to run away from them? Or can you not wait to see them? Can you not wait to hang out with them? Can you not wait to see what's going on with them? When somebody really loves you and you know it, you can't help yourself but be around them. Mm-hmm. And this is the same with God. When you don't want to be around him, I'm wondering if it's maybe because you don't understand, you haven't really understood the love that he has. Maybe you have a religious idea that if you don't do the X, Y, and Z, then he can't love you. Well, if that's the case, then we're all doomed. Because none of us can do it right. Not one. There's none that does good. No, not one. According to the scripture. We are dependent on his grace.
Let me just say, our listeners, we're talking to Patrick Doyle. He's a local area counselor, and he is in private practice here. And he does a lot of counseling on a lot of subjects. And I think the center theme of what we're trying to register here today in light of this Holy Week is that it's all about the resurrection. The whole theme that sets Christianity apart from all other religion is the resurrection. And can you get the revelation of the resurrection, so to speak, into your own heart?
Right.
Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within you. If the full impact of that statement, if it can be fully revealed, the illumination of that statement in your spirit.
Right.
I mean, it's revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. So it says here, in what I read here out of Romans, is that this resurrection life you've been given, you've received from God, is not a timid, grave-tending life. There's a lot of Christians I see that are really timid about their faith. They're timid about a lot of stuff. I'll tell you why. It's my belief, again, that boldness is always stolen by shame. Shame always steals boldness. Okay? So if you don't have the ability to be bold, it's probably because you have a ton of shame. Well, there's one very clear solution to shame.
Forgiveness.
And God has said in the resurrection, I am forgiving. I have poured out the wrath that I had stored up on you on Christ. And I now don't have that against you.
Let me ask you this about forgiveness. The Bible says we are to confess our faults one to another.
Mm.
Now, I know a lot of confession can go on privately in one's prayer closet.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be a more relieving and releasing going on when you actually come and confess to somebody else, because now that puts you in an accountability state. But it seems to be more freeing when you come to a counselor or come to a pastor and spill it out.
Absolutely, because what happens is when it's all just in your head, you can't make sense of it. It has a lot of power. We have a saying in recovery, you're only as sick as your secrets, and secrets keep you sick. And I think that's absolutely true. That if you live in the dark, those things have power. If you keep them hidden, they have power. If you expose them to somebody who you can trust, and I want to underscore that, you don't want to just randomly expose yourself. You want to make sure the person that you expose yourself to is trustworthy. If you expose yourself to somebody who's trustworthy, now you have taken the power away from that thing because it's no longer in the dark. And this is what I think steals the boldness of a lot of believers. They have a lot of stuff stuffed and out in the dark. And God says, look, you think I don't see that? He knows all about it. So when we go to somebody else who we can trust and we let it out, all we're doing is exercising our trust in Him to take care of that. And that's part of what we call faith. I know that God is good. I know that He is going to take care of me. I know that this isn't comfortable. And I want to do what He has prescribed as what will help me to bear one another's burdens. Every single week I do it. It's necessary. It's not like, well, I had a good year. Right. I mean, I can't go through a day without having the need for repentance. Every day. Maybe I don't wound another human, but I certainly do sin against God every day.
Violate a principle.
Yeah. I mean, if you just tried to live by the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Well, according to what Jesus said, you'd have need for repentance every day. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't say when he said, you know, you've heard it said that, you know, thou shalt not commit murder. Mm-hmm. He said, well, I tell you, if you've been angry with your brother in your heart without reason, you're guilty.
All right. So how do you separate guilt and conviction? Because I think that once people are released through their released of their guilt, because conviction really is a good thing. It brings you to a point of decision.
Right.
And
it's godly. Guilt is the conviction is the Holy Spirit drawing you to God. If you come into God's presence, do you think that your sin will be exposed? Yeah. All that stuff is exposed to the light. God is this pure, unadulterated light. You know, you get into that arena and all that darkness is exposed. So conviction is something that draws us into His presence, that helps us walk away or deal with the stuff that's binding us up. Conviction is really about us feeling bad, or it's our pride that we got caught, or something about us. But guilt doesn't pull me towards God. It pushes me away. It also pushes me away from other people. If I walk around feeling guilty, I can't look other people in the eye. I have no confidence. I can't really, you know, I'm not going to take a stand really, because I kind of have all that underneath stuff. And so this is what I basically see a lot in the Christian community. We're eaten up with it because we're not confessing our sin one to another. We're not confessing our sin to God in a way that's cleansing. We're going through some, you know,
well,
ritual.
You've probably, I mentioned you on the air the other day. It was good.
Okay.
but the point is that you probably get a lot of people in your office. I know that I do. And when you sum it up, when you get done and you just sum it up, I realize what they're saying here is, I want a way around doing it the Bible way. Can you give me another interpretation that makes it easier? Can you interpret this the way I want to hear it? Uh-huh. In other words, you know, and that's why people move from church to church to church, because mm-hmm. they just, you know, they want the interpretation that they want.
Right. But when the Holy Spirit's involved, interpretation goes out the window. When Holy Spirit has the grip on your heart, you're grateful. Thank you, God, for freeing me from this thing that has hold of me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to any longer be bound up. Paul said, I don't want to be a slave to anything. I want to be free. Mm-hmm. And God has provided us a way. So listen, folks, Sunday's Easter. Mm. This week, in preparation for going to church, what does the resurrection mean to you?
Mm. Good question.
What does it mean? What effect does it have on your life? Does it change you? The reality that God has risen from the dead? And the implications of that? Do you know what those implications are?
Yeah, I really hope that Friday, Good Friday, that you find a Good Friday noon service or evening service to go to. Just don't take it as a day to go skiing.
Mm-hmm.
This is Holy Week. This is the week.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville Presbyterian Church has the Monday-Thursday service. You ever been to one of those?
No, I haven't.
It's fabulous. Just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Yeah, and then... of course, a lot of services going on at noon on mm-hmm. Friday, and then, of course, Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Is the Dove going to have kind of a list of those things?
Yeah, we'll have them here. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have them up today. We're slowly getting them in, but we'll get them up today.
Okay, because I would love to know that, because I'm going to try to take some of that in.
Yeah.
It's part of my conviction that for years I've taken the resurrection celebration way too lightly. I've treated it as a religious holiday, not as a personal worship of a great and awesome God who has done far beyond what I can ever ask or think on my behalf. And I want to give thanks and to worship that God the best I can. And I'm encouraging you guys out there to think about the resurrection. What is it? What does it mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Look in the scriptures. Check it out. And ask God, God, is there something in me that needs straightening out? Can you convict me? Because if there's any unclean way in me, I ask you to expose it. And go to Easter service and celebrate the freedom that only can come through the resurrection.
Amen. Thank you, Patrick.
You bet.
Patrick Doyle, 301-5500, the number to his office.